Well, as I was sharing, one of the things I want to touch on is the peace of God. But in order to do that, one thing I want to touch on is when we looked at the seed, Luke 8, it talks about the word of God is, or the seed is the word of God. And we spent a number of lessons. It'd be good to go back and review those lessons, get them on CD, download them, listen to them, because the word of God has within it the very DNA of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is God. And it is the power of God, Romans 1:16. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God for my healing, for my deliverance, for my salvation. So in the Word of God is everything we need. Everything. And if we feed upon it enough, we become like Him. He's planted. It says, whosoever, in 1 John 5, it says, whosoever is born of God cannot commit sin. What does that mean? Does it mean we don't miss it? No, it means we can't practice it. We can't do the things that we did before. Why? Because his seed, when it says the word of God, it says the seed has been planted in us. That word seed is sperma. It really means he was planted in me. I can't do the things that I did before. You know, you've heard me share, I had a four-letter vocabulary. I curse like a sailor. And I picked it up just working around people. And the moment I got saved, I was working under my sports car, and I did something, and normally I would have cursed. I'd have rattled off something just like bop, 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 and I'd have cursed. Nothing came out, and it shocked me. I mean, it literally, I said, what happened here? I was wondering what happened to me, because I got saved that day. What happened? He came in. He moved in. He changed my nature. Death moved out. Cursing moved out. And life moved in. What else moved in? Peace, joy, righteousness. Hallelujah. My nature changed. So we look at that, and so when we talk about identity, you know, it's interesting when you just think about that. You know, anybody ever travel, you know, it's interesting. You know, we have some that have just come back traveling. I just traveled a little bit, went to Florida and back. Whenever you go through, you better have some ID. Or you ain't going through security. Right? They want to know what? Who you are. Give me some ID. And even now, the requirements next year are changing. You can't even just whip out your driver's license. They're saying in next year they're changing your driver's license. So now they call it a real ID. I don't know what it was before, but now it's called a real ID. So I guess the other one was fake. I don't know. But the point is that you've got to have some ID to show and prove that you are who you say you are. You just don't show up and just say, hi, I'm here. They'll go, ID, please. Or you're not getting on the plane or the boat. Or ship, excuse me, not a boat, it's a ship. If you're on a boat, you don't need ID. But the same thing, if you want to open up a bank account, you just don't come show up and say, hey, I want to open up. They'll go, good, show me some ID. And even today, you want to do business and transactions in a bank. Most times, they may even know you, but they'll say, could I have some ID, please? Well, you know me. That's good. I want to see some ID. That's just their procedure. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? Do you know who you are? See, in order to do spiritual, that's a natural business now, right? We're talking about natural things that we do. We have to have some ID. Yeah. When we do spiritual business, you better know who you are. You've got some identification. You're in Christ. The devil knows who you are. But do you know who you are? So that identification is key. The Great Commission. You can go to Ephesians chapter 1. We've been given authority, or it says power or authority, to do his business here. So we have some identification. This word, if you just look it up in the dictionary, identity, or to identify, they're all synonymous. It means to cause or to become identical, to be the same. Well, if I am in Christ, I am the same. And that's why when we look at Galatians 2:20, I am what? Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when we talk about identity, you know, it's a really interesting thing. When you look at today, people today are trying to figure out who they really are. And that's a lot of the issues that we have today in society. People are trying to identify with something or someone. We see it all the time. Stadiums are full of people to follow after someone. They identify with someone, a sports figure, somebody, or something. People identify with styles of dress. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that that's what people do. They identify with something or someone. But we need to do what? And here's another thing. Sometimes people identify with their problems. They identify, they say, well, I'm an alcoholic. I'm bankrupt. You're identifying with the problem. Some people go around saying, I'm divorced, I'm this. They identify, I have lack, I'm this. They identify with their sickness. So your identity or what you identify with is key. What did we just get done reading? It's no longer what? I that liveth, but who? Christ that liveth in me. So when he moved in, sickness had to move out. When he moved in, things have to change. I don't identify with my past. It's no longer I that liveth. We can go through Paul and look at Paul. He said, I used to know a man, what? In Christ. He didn't identify with his past. And we need not identify with our past. We need not identify with our problems. We need to do what? Identify with who we are in Christ. Who we've become in Christ. That's our true identity. We are what? A brand new creature. Our new identity swallows up our past. It swallows up your past. Jesus doesn't come back and say, you know what? He doesn't do like they used to say, let's run the videotape and show you your past. Your past is removed. It's swallowed up in Christ. Amen? Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Sometimes, you know, and I just share this way, that just because something, you know, when people identify with their past, just because something happened to you in your life doesn't necessarily identify you. That doesn't mean that that is who you are. Your identity is different than your behavior. Your identity is the real you. You can never rise in life above your own understanding of who you are. You'll never rise above that. You've got to know who you are in Christ. And let me read this from the... Some people identify with their culture. And Romans 12:2 tells us in the Message translation not to do that. Yes, we have a culture, and that's a natural thing. We all look different. We've come from different backgrounds, different ethnicities. But our true identity is in Christ. That's your spiritual identity. We have a natural identity. We all can see that. But Romans 12:2 in the Message translation says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Fix your attention on who you are in Christ, not who you are naturally. That's what we're to do. So God identifies us with Christ in his what? His death, burial, and resurrection. That's who we identify with. Let's look at Ephesians 2:10, or actually, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. God is the only one that determines our true identity. What does Ephesians 2:10 say? It says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He's the only one that determines our true identity. Don't let people tell you who you are or what you are. Ephesians chapter 1, and actually starting in verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, reading from the King James, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein what? In this grace, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's your identity. You've been accepted in him, in Christ. In whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure of his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained, what? An inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that she believed, ye were what? Sealed with what? The Holy Spirit of promise. You know, when you think about a seal, when something's sealed, it's marked. It's identified. That when you look up that word sealed, it says to stamp for security or preservation. So I've been stamped by the Holy Ghost. For what? For security. I've been sealed by God. So don't let anybody tell you who you've become. You know, the scripture I'm thinking of when we talk about peace, Romans 8:6 says to be carnally minded is death, but to be what? Spiritually minded is life and peace. So when we become spiritually minded, we become what? God inside minded. I'm reminded constantly of who I am. Who am I in Christ? That's life and peace. So now jumping down to chapter 2, and I'm reading this, taking the time to read this, starting in verse 1, so we can draw a connection between our identity, who we are in Christ, and the peace of God. And looking at the connection between, if you ever go through and you look at the epistles, what's tied with peace? Joy. Joy and peace. It says the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness. Joy and peace, what? In the Holy Ghost. We have that. Sometimes we need to tell our face that. It's in us. Righteousness is in us. Joy is in us. Peace is in us. But you've got to do what? Activate it. Philippians 1:6, the communication of your faith be what? Effectual. That means activated by the what? The communication of your mouth, the communication of your faith. So Ephesians 2:1, it says, and you hath he what? Quickened, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's why my trespasses and sins, we don't want to look at those, and neither do you. Amen. They're dead. They don't exist. They're not, they've been nailed to the cross. They don't pertain to you. And don't let the devil or anybody else drag them up. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's who we were. Among whom also we all had what? Our conversation. We sure did. In times past, in what? In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is what? Rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were what? Dead in sins, hath done what? Quickened us together with Christ. By what grace are ye saved? And hath done what? Raised us up together. See, this is identity right here. We were crucified with him. We were buried with him. We were raised with him, right? And he, and then did what? We're seated with him and sit what? Together in heavenly places in Christ. This is our identity. When it talks about identity, it talks about the same as. We were buried with him, or we were crucified with him. We were buried with him, and we were raised with him and seated with him. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, how? Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and what? Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's not my identity now. I'm not without hope. I'm not a stranger to the covenants of promise. And I'm certainly not without God. But verse 13 and 14, it says, but now, what? In Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are what? Made nigh, how? By the blood of Christ. For he is what? He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh, in his flesh, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and did what? Preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, when you look at this, he said he abolished in his flesh the enmity. That's where we were. We were this word enmity means hatred or hostility. We were hostile towards God. We were enemies of God. We were children of disobedience. But when we received him, Christ did what? He abolished in his flesh the enmity. He took the chastisement of what? Our peace. So we are now in him, and we have peace now. Turn over to Romans 5, chapter 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. See, we just got done reading how we've become justified by his grace. We've been made righteous by his grace. What does this say here? Therefore, being justified, how? By faith, we might have. No, it says we have what? Peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can no longer say, I don't have peace. I'm so troubled. Oh, then you're identifying with your problem. Who do you identify with? I identify with his nature. We have peace through Christ. I am in Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. He moved in. Peace moved in. Didn't mean or say that we're not going to walk through things that are not peaceful. What does James say? Count it all joy when you fall into what? Divers temptations. Knowing this, what? That the trying of your faith does what? Works patience. And then it talks about letting patience have its perfect work. So we're going to walk through things in this earth, but we're identified with Christ. We don't identify with our problems. We don't identify with the troubles and issues that we face. We identify with what? Who we are. When we walk through it, we've got to do what? Begin to release that and say, I've got joy. I've got joy. I'm going through this. I count it all joy when I walk through this. Didn't say it was, but I begin to laugh at the issues. That's faith. Faith begins to see the end. Faith begins to see the promise. Faith calls those things that be not as though they were. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, my faith is the evidence of something not seen. You're walking through something, you don't feel peace. You got to start calling peace. Call that which is not. You've got to call what isn't. It's in you. It's in us. The peace of God is in us. The life of God is in us. His power is within us. And we've got to release that power. We have the peace of God. This word peace, this particular Greek word, it means by implication prosperity, quietness, and peace. I'm going to read a paragraph. This is something from Rick Renner, who's a Greek, I guess you could call it scholar. If you know who he is, then you know who he is. But this is what he shared here. And this is actually from Sparkling Gems 1. It says, the Greek word for peace is the Greek equivalent for the Hebrew word shalom. We all know that. Shalom, right? Means peace. It expresses the idea of wholeness, completeness, or tranquility in the soul that is unaffected by outward circumstances or pressures. It's an inward thing. Who lives in me? Peace lives in me. And it's unaffected by outward pressures. When a person is dominated by peace, he has a calm inner stability that results in the ability to conduct himself peacefully, even in the midst of circumstances that would normally be very nerve-wracking, traumatic, or upsetting. And he continues, so don't think you have to give way to upsetting emotions in difficult or challenging moments. If you'll let the Holy Spirit work in you, he will release a supernatural joy and a dominating peace from way down deep inside you. The fruits of the Spirit have the power to keep you joyful, calm, stable, and peaceful, even though you're facing circumstances that would normally push you over the edge. We've got God living in us. And some of the things that we face in life are all different. But the devil is meant to do what? Destroy you. And you've got within you the power of God, the peace of God, the love of God, the joy. You've got his nature to overcome every single adversity. What did John, I believe John 16. Let's turn over there for a moment. I believe John 16 has something to say. Verse 33. John 16, 33. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He's already overcome the world. And so the issues that we face in life, we can walk through them in peace. If you think about it for a moment, when we walk through a trying situation, what is really affected most, would you agree, it's your thoughts? And then the more you think on those thoughts, it begins to affect your emotions and your flesh. And a lot of times we begin to entertain those thoughts. And what does the scripture say? Casting down every thought and vain imagination that does what? Exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So when thoughts come, I know Pastor Hagin talks about it, about his dad, and you would hear Brother Hagin say it constantly. Somebody would say, well, what do you think about this? The very first thing out of his mouth would be, what does the Word say about that? What does the Word of God say about that? Because that ought to be our first thought or response. When thoughts come about something that want to affect our peace and affect our thinking, affect our talking, we need to say, wait a minute, what does the Word of God have to say about this? And we need to look at that and begin to say, well, wait a minute, if that's contrary to the Word of God, then I'm not going to meditate upon it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to identify with it. That doesn't pertain to me. And we need to take this thought. I mean, I've done some things just purposefully going through things. Do I always do it? No. And this is where the growth thing for all of us. We have to do what? Not let conditions that we face affect our thinking, affect our actions, affect our speech. We need to remember who we are. We need to remember that I'm a new creature in Christ. I need to constantly focus on that, because when I'm faced with a something, he's inside to do what? Direct me, guide me. Think about this. Turn over to Proverbs for a minute. I know we're jumping here a little bit, but go over to Proverbs chapter 3, talking about peace. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. And look at the first few verses. We're talking about the Word of God and the law and the commandments. We're talking all about the same thing. But look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2. It says, my son, forget not my law. You could say, don't forget the Word. But let thine heart keep my commandments. Let what? Your heart. He says, what else in verse 2? For length of days and long life and what? Peace. And peace shall they add to thee. Oh, man. We're all looking for life. We're all looking for the fountain of life. We're looking for prosperity and peace. And it's found in the Word of God. That's why it's so important. Go back and listen to those lessons on the power of the seed. The seed, what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 3:6? He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That's being added to right here. So we need to keep watering the Word. Keep watering. If we're walking through some tough spots right now, keep watering. Keep watering. Identify with who you are. Identify with the Word and not your problem. Amen. Amen. Look down in verse 13 of that same chapter, talking about wisdom and the Word of God, Proverbs 3. Verse 13, it says, happy is the man that does what? Findeth wisdom. If you found something, that means you were seeking it. You were looking for it. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that does what? Getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Look at verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand what? Riches and honor. Look at 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So when you need to make decisions, see, the devil tries to get us disrupted so that we're not at peace, because peace will lead us. You know, Brother Hagin had this old-time way of sharing things. He used to say, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. He said, red light, green light. He said, when you had a check in your spirit, it's like a red light. You stop. You know, it's a very simplistic way, but he said, if you had a green light, you just keep going. What does that mean? It just felt comfortable. We just keep going. What is that? That's peace. Who lives in us? The Spirit of peace, the Prince of peace. And he will do what? Influence or bear witness with my spirit that it's okay to go. You'll have peace. It could be raging outside, storms of life, but I have peace in this particular direction. That's what we need to have. And the devil tries to disrupt our lives, and we begin to forget that peace is in me. Peace is in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn over just for a moment here. Turn over to Philippians 4:6. Philippians, very familiar scripture. Says verse 6. What does it say? Be careful, or some translations say, be anxious for nothing. Some translations say, I forget if it's the Messenger one, one translation says, don't worry about one thing. One thing. Don't worry about it. That's what disrupts our peace and our thoughts. You're worrying about it. Think about it. What is Matthew 6? 30, 31, 32, 33. It says, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? The Lord knows you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's like placing the word first, isn't it? Doesn't mean we don't go to work. It just means we don't fret over these things. Verse 6, be anxious or careful for nothing, but in everything by what? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your what? Your requests be made known unto God. And what? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall do what? Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, this is what the devil tries to get. He tries to disrupt your thoughts and your heart. But we're to do what? Keep our heart and mind on who we are. It says here, isn't it interesting when you see the word thanksgiving? Sometimes I look at that and say joy. But see how it's tied to peace? Thanksgiving and peace. Joy and peace. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure and lovely and of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. Don't identify with the issues you're walking through in life. He's already overcome them. We've been what? Delivered from darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So we need not fret. This says here, don't worry about one thing. See, I'm convinced that the Holy Ghost will show us things to come. He'll show us how to walk around and through these issues in life. If we'll listen, if we'll not meditate on the issue. He's done it. I mean, he's not a respecter of persons. How many in here has he done that to? How many has he shown you how to navigate through life? That's what he's here for. He's our comforter. He's our helper. He's our standby. He's here to show us how. Hallelujah. Gives him great joy. So he lives within us. Now, did we turn over here to Romans chapter 15? Let's go to Romans 15. And let's close with this scripture. Maybe. But we're close, though. Romans 15, verse 13. And then you can go to 1 Thessalonians 2. That'll be our last scripture. Romans 15, 13, and 1 Thessalonians 2, and I believe 13. Let me get over there. For Romans 15 and verse 13, it says, now the God of hope, do what? Fill you with all joy and what? And peace in believing that you may abound in hope. How, though? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. This word hope is expectation or confidence. That's what this is. This word hope is expectation or confidence. It says that you may abound in what? Confidence through the power of the Holy Ghost. This is faith. Now turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Familiar scripture. It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you what? You received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which what? Effectually worketh also in you that what? Believe. So I have a question. How would you act if you were confident that you had something? Is that how you would act? Wow. That's pretty sad. If you knew you had something from God that was good, maybe I'll rephrase that. Maybe it wasn't clear. If you knew you had something from God that was good, Yeah, that's how you'd act. Yeah. I'm not a stranger from the covenants of promise. I identify with the promises of God. They're mine. It's a fact. All I have to do is what? Identify with it. What does that mean? They're mine. The head, if I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, the head can't have something that the body is lacking. Amen. Cannot. So we have the peace of God. We have the joy of God through the power of the Holy Ghost. And we need to do what? Respond to it. Say, thank you, Lord, I've got the joy. Did I say I felt joyful? No.
Yes. Thank you. Hallelujah.
You may be walking through something that's horrible in the natural, but that doesn't identify you. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you identify with that. Hallelujah. Don't ever call yourself lacking or broke or sick or diseased. Don't do that. You're identifying with the problem rather than the promise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. That's what you got to do. You got to begin to say thank you. It may look like I've only got 2 quarters in my pocket, but I see myself rich. I see myself prosperous. I see my bank accounts full. I see my body strong. I see my body healthy. You've got faith sees what isn't. Faith calls those things that be not as what, though they were. I thank you, Lord, I'm in peace. I thank you that my mind is at peace. My heart is at peace. We've got to release it. It's in there. The communication of your faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is what? In you, in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, this is the thing that the world is lacking. When I say the world, I'm talking about those that are not in Christ. They're looking for peace. That's why they're going to the psychiatrist. That's why they're drinking. That's why they're doing drugs and all of the things to get their minds unhooked from reality. But we are in Christ, and He's placed Himself in me. I'm telling you, your flesh and your mind, you know, some of the things that I've walked through, some things I just spoke it for months until I saw it. Amen. And realized it. Was it comfortable? No. Uncomfortable for the flesh, the thoughts. But you've got to begin to say, see, the devil's going to pour out more stuff on us to try to get us to do what? To discourage us. And to get us to get unhooked from our confession. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we believed and therefore we speak. I believe that I'm an overcomer. I believe that I've overcome as He has. Glory to God. Don't identify with your circumstance. Identify with the promises of God. That's who you are. Identify with him. Identify with the word. The word calls you prosperous. The word calls you healed. The word calls you an overcomer in him. That's who you are. Glory to God. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we have received of your word. And we thank you that the seed of God's word is in us, watering what's been there. And Father, we act upon it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that we have peace that passeth all understanding. And we have joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Father, as we dismiss, as we go, we ask you, Holy Spirit, remind us as we walk through circumstances and trials in life that we're overcomers. And we believe that you'll show us and guide us in every facet of life. Your word says, Father, that if we meditate on your word day and night and observe to do, that we will become successful in this life. So, Father, we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God.